From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. The number of volunteer firefighters in Alaska has nearly halved since 2014, according to the state fire marshal data. And it could be putting communities at risk. KFSK's Thomas Copeland has a story.
You can find the Petersburg Volunteer Fire Department about a mile out of town. Aaron Hankins is the director of fire, EMS, and search and rescue. He is just one of three employees here. The rest, all volunteers. Right now, Hankins is doing a routine vehicle inspection after a fire which engulfed Petersburg's Catholic Church earlier this month.
This is engine 6, and if you want to take a look on the inside, we'll go ahead and get in.
All right, in we get.
Okay.
How many people can fit in this engine?
Engineer, officer, fireman, fireman, fireman.
Five seats. When this engine left to go to the church fire, how many people were in here?
This engine rolled by itself.
So one person, just the driver?
Just the driver.
And why was that?
At the time, we needed more equipment on scene and not enough volunteers at hand.
And when there aren't enough volunteers available, that can hold back the rest from doing their jobs.
We shift from an offensive, go in, fight the fire where it's at, to a more defensive posture. We call it surround and drown, and are trying to fight the fire that may be burning inside from the outside of the building.
Is that a less effective strategy?
Yes.
This situation will sound very familiar to Alaska fire chiefs. The number of volunteer firefighters across the state has plummeted by 45% since 2014. That's more than double the decline seen nationwide. Justin Boddy is the president of the Alaska State Firefighters Association. He says the huge drop in volunteers is particularly stark when he thinks back to volunteer training sessions a decade ago.
You would have a packed house, you would have every vehicle, every apparatus in the fleet staffed for that night, and now you are lucky if you can staff one or two vehicles.
And while volunteers are clearing out, the phone lines are getting busier. Calls to U.S. fire departments have more than tripled since the 80s.
Everybody calls 911 now if they have a problem. So now we're not just going to medical emergencies and vehicles or structures on fire. We now go to all rescue scenarios, hazardous materials, service calls, down power line, utility calls, and much, much more.
Plus, Boddy says that Alaska faces another pretty unique problem. Among first responders, there's this thing called mutual aid. Basically, if there's a big fire in a town, engines from the next town over can race down the road to help out. But Alaska has a lot of hard-to-reach communities, like Petersburg on an island or Nome off the highway system.
Lower 48 can keep requesting resources from miles and miles and miles away, where we do not have that luxury here in Alaska.
All of this isn't just a problem for fire departments. Volunteering in general has declined in America over the last 15 years. So says Dr. Nathan Dietz, research director of the Do Good Institute at the University of Maryland. He says the pandemic made everything worse. Data from AmeriCorps shows that volunteering in this country has fallen by 7% since 2019. That drop even took Dietz by surprise.
That's 4 or 5 percentage points more than any drop that I've ever seen in the past.
He says the pandemic impacted volunteering in two ways. First, it broke our habits.
People were first unable to do what they always had done. And when they were able to do it, then they kind of did a top to bottom rethink of all the things that they had been committed to doing.
And second, people got used to being online.
Now that they can go back to the organization, I would think many probably haven't.
But you can't battle a burning building in front of your laptop. So back at the Petersburg Fire Department, Aaron Hankin says he needs to find new ways of attracting volunteers. There is at least one thing that seems to work, seeing firefighters in action.
Since the fire last week, we've had about 5 people sign up.
And why do you think they've signed up?
When we do have those instances of major fire and the town, you know, realizes that, oh, there's only a couple guys walking outside.
But if Alaska fire departments want to keep functioning, they'll need a more sustainable recruitment strategy than simply waiting for the next big blaze.
And from the cab of Petersburg Volunteer Fire Department, Engine 6, I'm Thomas Copeland.
Almost half of Alaska's Head Start early learning programs are in danger of losing millions of dollars in federal funding due to under-enrollment. As Alaska Public Media's Wesley Early reports, some say staffing is the biggest issue.
Head Start is a federal program that provides early childhood education for free, primarily to low-income families, as well as foster kids and children with disabilities.
We work with not just the kids, but the families, and that's what makes Head Start different. Head Start tries to help the family get on track, learn how to advocate for their kid, navigate the special ed system if they need it, set family goals.
That's Ann Shade, director for the Child Development Department with Bristol Bay Native Association, one of 17 Head Start grantees in Alaska. The program is funded for 80 children total, from the hub community of Dillingham to the villages of Togiak, Neustuyahok, and Manicotic. But right now, it only has staffing to fill 53 of the spots, and its federal grant is at risk. In a letter that BBNA received at the end of May, officials with the Federal Office of Head Start gave the program a year to increase its enrollment numbers, or else it could lose just shy of $600,000 in federal funding.
It would severely cripple it. We've got a $1.6 million Head Start grant, but you know, it's not like you can drop 5 kids or 10 kids, because you have to drop a whole classroom to save any money. And each classroom, runs at about $100,000 a year.
The potential loss of Head Start funding comes as the state faces a child care crunch, with lengthy wait lists and rising costs putting a burden on Alaska families. In total, officials with the Alaska Head Start Association say that the 8 Head Start programs that have been contacted by the federal government could potentially lose as much as $12.5 million in funding due to under-enrollment. Shade says BBNA's biggest issue for enrolling kids is staffing, since there's a ratio requirement for teachers to children.
Each of our classrooms has 3 people in it and 16 kids. So if I don't have, people in the classroom, I can't serve kids.
She says it's been difficult to compete with wages in other industries, some of which are less demanding.
Somebody lost somebody to Bailey's Furniture. We've lost people to Starbucks. They're all paying more hourly than we do, and the work is hard. Head Start is hard.
Additionally, some say there are barriers to entry that make hiring for Head Start programs difficult. Francine Kachucha is director of early childhood education with the Fairbanks Native Association, another Head Start grantee that is currently under-enrolled by about 53%. She says while their wages are fairly competitive, the program has had issues with applicants not passing drug tests. Additionally, she says there's a backlog of background checks at the state and federal levels holding up the hiring process.
When I called in to check, they said, yeah, we're short-staffed just like you guys.
A spokeswoman for the State Department of Health says there are currently no pending background check applications for Head Start. Kachucha says her Head Start program has a wait list of students ready to enroll once they hire more people. It was alerted in January that it could lose more than $3 million in federal funding due to under-enrollment. Kachucha says that funding loss could impact paying for the building and salaries and could result in the closure of classrooms. She also worries that a decrease in Head Start spaces could lead parents to send their kids to pricier alternatives.
It's very expensive. It's $700 or more a month for families per child. So families simply can't afford childcare.
Head Start program managers say they'd hoped to get an increase in state funding so they could raise childcare salaries to help with recruitment. This year, legislators had allocated an additional $5 million to Head Start, but Governor Mike Dunleavy vetoed the amount, reducing it to $1.5 million. The federal government notified Head Start programs about the under-enrollment before the governor's veto. Shade with BBNA says the federal government requires a 20% match in funding from a non-federal source, and the state of Alaska had covered that cost for years.
Over the years, as the funding has remained flat funded, that percentage has dropped to somewhere around 12% right now. And so if we would have been given the extra $5 million, that would have covered everybody's non-federal share.
For now, Shade hopes that the state will begin addressing child care concerns with the creation of a child care task force by Dunleavy. The next meeting of the task force will be July 26th. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Wesley Early.
And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 63 degrees and overcast. This afternoon, expect some showers with a low around 56 degrees tonight. Tomorrow, there's more showers likely on the way, and Sunday has 100% chance of rain. You're listening to KTOO.